chilled in the shadows, I wandered and sin, far from the warmth of the light. Then Jesus found me and changed me within, kindled his love in the night. Before now in the sunlight, I follow your word through every trial and test. He is my Savior and He is my Lord. Gladly I'll give you my heart. Before I loved him, he loved me. Before I found him, he found me. Before I sought him, he sought for me. Yes, Jesus cares for me.
That's a glorious message, and we know he loved me. All right. We have a special speaker this afternoon. Brother Graham is going to bring the word.
Good afternoon. It's good to be home. It's good to be here. I'm just so glad that I was able to be back for spring break, and it's really been the Lord has been faithful. The Lord has been faithful in the midst of being far away. And I'm so grateful for the love of my home church. You know, I like going down to the basement of the student center and fidgeting with the little combination lock, and I find all these letters from you all encouraging me, telling me you love me, telling me you're thinking of me and praying for me. And that is a real gift. It is a real gift, being far away, to have such encouragement and such love. So thank you. Keep writing. Keep writing. I like to read them. I'm not very good at responding, though, and the mail is slow getting here, so even if you don't get a response, I've got it. I read it. This afternoon, for just a few minutes, let's go to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. Galatians in the fifth chapter, and I'll begin in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For if we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Go to verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to serve the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we walk by the Spirit, let us also walk. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. This chapter in Galatians is about liberty in Christ, and that will be the title of my message this afternoon. And truly, the entire book of Galatians centers on this theme. And so we'll go for just a few moments back to the second chapter for a little bit of context on what liberty in Christ is. And then we'll look at a few points that Paul seems to bring out here in chapter 5. By way of context, the book of Galatians is believed to be the first of the New Testament books that was written, and maybe a decade or so after Jesus died and rose again. And so it's the first book written to Christians, and so it in some ways shows us that this issue of freedom in Christ and legalism and being under the law has really plagued the church since its beginning. There had been some that had entered into the Galatian midst, known as Judaizers, who were attempting to convince the saints at Galatia that they needed both faith in Christ, but they also needed the works of the law and the signs of the law, like circumcision. And Paul is very upset by this, that those have entered into the midst who are not preaching the gospel that he had brought unto the Galatians. And so this is really a letter of rebuke. All six chapters are centering on this theme that Christ has set us free from the bondage of the law. If we'll go here, we're in chapter 2 at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we, and Paul's speaking here as a Jew, as a Hebrew of Hebrews, even we have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am, or I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul is speaking here about justification and the result that our works do not justify us. Faith in Jesus Christ justifies us alone. This is part of the gospel that Paul had brought to the Galatian saints. They are not justified by the law. They are not justified by their works, but they are solely justified by Jesus Christ. I'll tell you a little bit more about this as we go on, but there are some today, even today, who believe they must be justified both by faith in Christ and also by their own works. And Paul is emphatic here. Only faith in Jesus is what justifies us. In verse 16, he talks about even we Jews know that we won't be able to live up to the standard of righteousness by the law, and so faith in Christ is the only means for justification. So that's the context that sets us up for the fifth chapter of Galatians, and we can turn back there now. I want to notice three ideas. Now, there's a lot here in Galatians and a lot even in the text that we read earlier, but I just want to think about three themes that Paul seems to develop throughout this discourse. The first theme is this, that for the one who is free in Jesus Christ, the works of the law are of no benefit. And then we'll go on to consider how liberty in Jesus does not mean we have license to sin. And finally, we'll think about when we are free in Christ, how freedom in Jesus Christ helps us to grow up into the fruit of the Spirit. So 5 verse 1 again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Justification by the law, justification by our own works, leads to bondage. But Paul says here that if we're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel that he's continued to proclaim to the Galatian saints in the midst of those Judaizers who had entered in trying to convince them of something else, he says, it's essentially when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are free. We are made free. And so it's more of this rebuke that It can't be both faith in Jesus Christ, which sets us free, and also some sort of works, and works of the law, because the works of the law lead to bondage. We can't have both freedom and bondage. The two are opposed. So to those who are trying to convince the Galatians that they must maybe believe in Jesus, but they also need circumcision, they also need the works of the law, Paul's like, it doesn't work, because the two stand in juxtaposition. In verse 6, Paul says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Faith which works by love. I've thought a lot about love in the Scriptures, and one of the lines in 1 John that really sticks out to me and I'm reminded of constantly is the difference between love and fear. You know, the people of God are told to fear not a lot. Fear not in exile, fear not when you're not in the promised land. Jesus tells his disciples not to fear. And then in 1 John it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Freedom in Jesus Christ is freedom from fear. Freedom from the fear of sin and death, freedom from the fear of having to live up to this standard that no one can live up to. That is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so freeing. I have some friends in a particular church at Wheaton, and the church teaches that they must have faith in Jesus, and that's the start, but that their justification is also by their works. And I remember a conversation I had with one of them, and I asked somewhat candidly, are you afraid then? If this gospel that you're following that requires you both have faith in Jesus, but you also, you know, keep the standards of the church and are measured by your own works, are you afraid? And it broke my heart to find the answer was yes. But that's the truth. That's the truth. When we believe that our own works are what justifies us, We return to a yoke of bondage. We return to a yoke of fear. But again and again, the Scripture says there is no fear in love, our faith working through love. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says in verse 6, so then the works of the law, which are ultimately the works of human beings, which are ultimately leads to a yoke of bondage, are of no benefit to you. And that's the truth. The one who is set free in Jesus Christ, there is no benefit to the works of the law. Paul concludes in verse 11, the offense of the cross has ceased. He says, and I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. The offense of the cross, that both Jews and Gentiles could be set free in Jesus Christ. Through their faith in Jesus Christ, they could be justified. But if, as he says, if he preaches circumcision, if he preaches the works of the law, the freedom, there is no more freedom, and the offense of the cross has ceased. Now, transitioning into the second statement here, liberty in Jesus Christ, freedom in Jesus Christ, does not mean freedom to sin. And that's often a point that can be overlooked. Because we are free in Jesus, because we are covered by grace, because our justification is not dependent on our own works and our own abilities, doesn't mean that we continue in our former way of life. Just as we heard this morning in Romans 6, should we continue in sin that grace might abound? God forbid. Christians are still called to live set-apart lives. Freedom in Christ does not mean that we live like the world. But the motivation changes. Verse 13, for brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to serve the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus fulfilling the law doesn't do away with God's standard of righteousness. God's standard of righteousness doesn't change because we're now justified by faith and not by our own works. No one could keep the law. We know that. It's clear. Scripture is very clear. But God's standard of righteousness remains the same. Instead, it's the means by which we accomplish it. We don't accomplish it by our own works and our own abilities and our own efforts. Those fall short. Those fall short. Paul, Jew of Jews, circumcised on the eighth day, a Pharisee, says, I need Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. So we don't use our freedom as an occasion to continue on sinning, but our freedom in Jesus, our freedom from fear, motivates us then to love our neighbor. It motivates us then to fulfill the law. The means by which we achieve righteousness changes. Freedom in Jesus is what equips us then to keep the law. We're not fearful of, will we make it to heaven, like my friends. We're not fearful of, will I ever live up to be enough? Will I ever meet the standard of the law? We're not fearful because we've been set free from fear. And freedom from fear then gives us the ability to go out and to love our neighbors. And so the third statement, the third theme that Paul brings forth in this section of Scripture. Freedom in Christ then equips us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. The means have changed. It's not our own works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We learned again this morning, and I love how I was studying this before the Sunday sermon today. I didn't prepare this over lunch, but yet we both seem to draw similar conclusions, that there is a battle between the flesh and the Spirit, and there is a conscious choice that we make to yield to the Spirit. And when we do yield to the Spirit, the Christ life in us, we don't sin. When we yield to the freedom that we have in Christ, we don't sin. We know this is a conscious decision that we must make every day. But notice, when we do make that decision, the fruit of the Spirit comes forth: peace, love, joy, faithfulness, kindness. And I'll leave and I'll conclude with this thought, that the Christ life in us, the yielding to the Spirit, the freedom that we have in Jesus that equips us then to love our neighbor, it doesn't stop here. The Christ life in us can't stop here. It has to go forth. It has to go forth to our neighbors. We can't do this fruit of the Spirit here alone, hunkered down in our bedrooms. We need other people. We can't just be kind to ourselves. We have to be kind to others. We can't just love ourselves. We have to love our enemies and love our neighbors. Living outside of Chicago has shown me at least one thing, that the world is a scary place and the world is a hurting place. And we've journeyed into town, to downtown Chicago, a few times, and it's very evident. There are people living in fear. The liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, the freedom from fear, the freedom that equips us to love our neighbors, we must share it. We must take this Christ life in us and make it manifest to others. So let us walk then in the liberty that we have in Jesus. Amen.